This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to This Day in History. It's May the 16th. The events, the births, the deaths, everything that happened on this date that Armand and I deem relevant. My name's Tony Hubert, your host. We're brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon.com. Whenever we have a book recommendation, movie recommendation, or if we just want you to visit our page, we'll tell you where to go. ThisDayInHistoryPodcast.com. Armand Kachigian, my co-host, how are you, sir?
Better than you, apparently. Gastric reflux?
Gastric reflux, heartburn, and I've been recommended
No eructation.
I don't know what that means.
It's a hiccup.
But if it's good, that's me.
No, that's a hiccup. That's a medical.
Not yet.
All right. Oof. So anyway, we've got a lot of notes from Tuesday to take.
Mm-hmm. The May 15th
May
show.
May 15th opus. All right. Voir dire.
Yes.
Is actually true say.
Oh.
Although I was confused because I was right. You say je vois means I see. So I thought it was say, but it's not what that's. Apparently that means true also in French. Dire is to say, so it's true say. The semi-major axis of an ellipse, and I should have known this, is half the long arm. The major axis of an ellipse is the long arm of it. The semi-major is half that. That I should have known that. That's
all right.
That's stupid. Okay, so I didn't get any real answers on the Declaration of Independence. Who signed what on what
on
day?
What
apparently,
date?
Nobody signed. It was formally declared on the 2nd. I didn't get anybody signing it on the 2nd.
Gotcha.
I didn't get anybody signing it on the 4th either. Apparently, so apparently they sent it. They approved it and they sent it off to the printer on the 4th. So I'm not sure when anybody signed anything.
That's great.
But we know August the 2nd.
Well, we had to pick a date, Armand.
A lot of people signed it on August the 2nd. When Hancock signed it, I just still couldn't.
Would
find
you rather
out.
Celebrate July 4th or August 2nd?
August 1st is my birthday.
Well,
so
okay.
That's too close. So anyway, I don't know what the hell that I don't know the answer to that. Anybody has it, keep it under your hat. I don't want to know. All right, Joseph Cotton.
Yes.
No Academy Award nominations.
No
I was
nominations.
Right. No, he had none.
Joe.
Chuck Wepner was the inspiration for Rocky, but there was Alfredo Evangelista, who you never heard of, called the Lynx of Montevideo. That's
was
a good
he, he's Uruguayan. Okay. Well,
apparently, yeah. He lost to Ali in 15 rounds, got the crap beat up, and he lost to Larry Holmes in the 7th, got knocked out, but I thought he was part of it too. But Chuck Wepner is the acknowledged inspiration for that. Emma Smith is 2nd in touchdowns to Jerry Rice, so he would have been Rice.
But rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, we talked about rushing, so obviously he's 1st in that. The Flamingo was Virginia Hill. I don't know how I blew that one.
Oh.
Siegel's girlfriend. Benjamin Siegel's girlfriend.
Yes.
A little respect.
Yes.
Even though he got his eyes shot out. Roscoe Carnes played Oscar Shapley. Great actor. I like him. He's funny. That's from It Happened One Night. We were talking about Bugs Dooley and Bugs Bunny. I did watch that cartoon we both like. It's called A Pest in the House.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Hilarious. Laugh my ass off. Daffy and Elmer, I guess. An Elmer look-alike. I'll silence that inebriated songbird. Speck.
All right.
So that I think we're all caught up now.
Oh, very good. Well, we strive for exactitude on this day in history.
Much to rectify.
And it is now rectified. And when we rectify it, Armand.
Yeah, it remains rectified.
It stays rectified.
Our rectification is permanent.
1770. A young 14-year-old lass marries a 15-year-old
by proxy
rather upper crusty guy who would later become the king of France,
later to be played by Robert Morley and Norma Shearer,
the young lady,
and Scotty Beckett as the dauphin
before
he wrapped his car around a tree
pole.
And had his drug problems.
But we digress. The young lass Marie Antoinette the 15-year-old gentleman, Louis Auguste.
Voir dire.
Marie Antoinette, 14 years old. 14.
So what? That was old back then. They only lived to be 30.
Oh, that's the average life expectancy.
So, yeah, you get married and have kids.
Again, that's because of the mortality rate.
There's a better way.
14.
Get married at 14, guillotined at 28 or whatever.
Queen of France.
And that's that.
How's that strike your fancy?
Well, not as sharply as the guillotine, apparently.
Oh, man.
Anyway, it didn't work out too well.
No,
but it wasn't her fault.
No, she tried.
And it wasn't her mother's fault.
She tried, too.
Yeah, Maria Theresa.
Young Louis Auguste. He just wasn't that interested in the female persuasion at first.
I don't know about him. They had kids.
I know, but it took some prodding. See,
he was a weird guy. I don't know. Well, his old man was kind of a screwball, too. Louis the 15th was no prize. And, of course, what's her name? Which one was it that really hated her guts? Was it Pompadour or Dubarry? I think it was Madame Dubarry.
I thought it was Dubarry.
She couldn't stand Marie Antoinette. They couldn't even be in the same cotillion together.
Mm-mm-mm.
Flipping each other's skirts up.
1843. I kind of would have liked to be here for the start of this.
I assume this wasn't the Donner Party?
No, but I'm not going with them. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah, you'd like to throw some flowers at them
as they
rolled out.
Elm Grove, Missouri sees the first wagon train, the first major wagon train that's going to head out to the Pacific Northwest on the Oregon Trail.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
No.
You're leaving Elm Grove, Missouri, and in like 6 months, you might make it.
The only thing worse would be staying in Elm Grove, Missouri.
I don't even know where. I got to assume
I'd rather
north
go
of
to
Kansas
St.
City.
Louis.
1886, U.S. Congress, they eliminate the halftime. The half dime, gone. They replace it with the 5 cent piece, the nickel.
Okay.
Isn't that six on one hand, half a dozen on the other?
I don't know where they got nickel from. I don't know where that term comes from.
Isn't that 10 on one hand, five on the other?
As long as they don't reduce the silver content, it's okay. I don't care what you call it.
If you had a half dime, you already had a nickel.
Yeah, but where's that name? No, you don't. Apparently, nickel is from something else. I don't know. Is it from the nickel? I don't think so.
What's the half dime worth? If you say anything other than 5 cents, we got an issue.
How's that go? What did Yogi say? Nickel ain't worth a dime anymore.
Nickel ain't worth a dime
whatever.
Anymore.
I don't know what the hell he said.
I think in 1866.
He never said anything. He never said everything he said anyway.
He would have been right.
Okay.
A half dime.
Okay, whatever. What are you complaining about? It's the mint. And it's the government. So you're expecting some sort of logic here?
Do you sometimes think government should be spelled M-I-N-T at the end?
I sometimes think government should be outlawed. Often.
We know you think that. Speaking of outlawing government, 1868, the impeachment trial. Oh, no.
Yeah.
There's no fun like an impeachment trial. And this one goes against Andrew Johnson, but by one vote, he is acquitted.
Yeah. Edmund Ross, you know, and if you've read that book, Profiles in Courage by John Kennedy, which was really written by Ted Sorensen.
Mm-hmm.
And John Kennedy took credit for it.
Took a Pulitzer for it, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, right. Anyway, they need 3/4 votes or was it, what? Anyway, to impeach 2/3?
Today it's 2/3.
2/3, I think, because they got 35. So, and then there was, 35 to 19. So it was 34 to 20. That would have been 2/3? 34 out of 54.
34 out of 51 would have been 2/3.
That's correct. Okay, so how come 35 to 19? Isn't that still 2/3? 35 out of 54?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 35 out of 54 is just over 2/3.
Yeah, but that's what they got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should have been impeached then, right? Or they should have been convicted.
Maybe they didn't know how to count.
maybe that's that half nickel instead of a dime.
Right.
I don't know what that. Okay, anyway.
Maybe it was 3/4 back in the day.
Anyway, you know what this is all about.
They didn't like Johnson.
Well, they hated him, yeah, but he kicked out Stanton.
Right.
But he had every right to because they told the military, like these five military governors of the South, they're of course beholden to under the auspices of the president because these are military governors. He's a commander in chief, and they, you know, more or less arbitrarily said, no, you're not. You're under the auspices or the control or the whim of Stanton, the Secretary of War. All right, well, screw you. I'll get rid of Stanton. And they didn't like that.
Yeah.
So they impeached him. And, of course, that's the House impeached him. It went through fine. the Senate has to, you know, convict. Anyway, that was what that was all about.
Why didn't they use the 25th Amendment, or did it even exist then?
Oh, no, that's way later.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right. 1888. You know we love science on this day in history.
What are we at today?
And Nikola Tesla gives a lecture. And in this lecture, he describes the equipment that can be used, which would allow for the flow, the efficient flow of energy, alternating currents to transmit electric power over long distances. This is without wires. This is just sending the old electricity through the air. Still believe this could work?
I mean, apparently he showed it. I don't know.
I mean, work in practice, big scale.
I don't know.
I mean, can I beam electricity from St. Louis to Chicago, from Chicago to Detroit?
Well, I don't know. Tesla, supposedly, I mean, he's probably still here. He had a time machine, too.
Yeah,
remember?
He probably is.
So I don't know what. All I know, we know the difference between alternating and
direct.
Alternating is changing directions, obviously, of the electrons.
Right. And direct is, well.
Direct is direct. One direction, I think. And that is, now, of course, what's the difference between voltage and current?
I always get this one messed up.
Voltage is the difference in the actual charges at two different places on a circuit, whereas a current is the actual flow.
The flow.
Yeah. So if you think it was like a waterfall, the water at the top and the water at the bottom have a different
kinetic energy.
Yeah. Well, they have a different kinetic and potential
and
energy.
And potential energy.
So there's the potential is different. But the water flowing down the waterfall, that's the current.
That's the current.
So that's and of course there's resistance.
No, I like that. And the waterfall generally doesn't
IR
doesn't have resistance except for the air. Or rocks.
Yeah, right. The rocks.
Yeah.
Or the guy that's caught on the.
Well, maybe it's you taking a skinny dip underneath with some of your swipe right friends from little app there on your phone.
Yeah, I'm not getting many booms on.
What is yours called? Our Time?
Bumble.
Oh, yeah.
Our Time's for old people.
Well, that's, you know, you're AARP.
I know. I qualify, but.
1918. You're going to love this, Armand. Oh, the Sedition Act. It's passed by Congress, making criticism of the government.
That's right.
During wartime.
Gee, I wish they'd bring this back. Why not? Why just during wartime? Why not during peacetime, too? If you speak German, you get thrown in jail, right? Right, Woodrow?
Yeah.
Or Tom? Let's call him Tom. That's his name.
So during wartime, this becomes an imprisonable
offense.
Can you
believe this?
It's direct contradiction to the First Amendment. There's no other way around it. It will be repealed less than 2 years later. Thank goodness.
Oh, well, gee, thank you.
Of course, the war is over 2 years later.
After everybody's thrown in jail and people that are, write an editorial against going to fight. Oh, my God. Well, that's the United States of America under Woodrow Wilson.
The Sedition Act.
Yeah, the Palmer Raids and all that stuff. Read up on that. Mitchell, of course, was he was basically a propagandist. Joseph Goebbels basically was, but Mitchell Palmer, that's his name.
Mitchell Palmer?
Yeah, the Palmer Raids.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they caught you speaking German or something.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, throw you in the Who's
Scout. There were still schools in most major American cities in the Midwest that were German schools.
Yeah.
They taught in German.
Of course. We had no business getting in that war. You know who was behind all this? Read up on a guy named Colonel House. And he was no colonel, by the way. I think his real name's Edmund or something.
House. Just gives himself a title?
Yeah, somebody did. It was one of those. It was like, remember the...
like Commodore Vanderbilt?
It was like Inherit the Wind. Remember where they called him Colonel? Remember? And he said, well, I don't know about his military background. So they called him both Colonel. Colonel Drummond and Colonel whatever the hell.
Oh.
Frederick March. So I'm going to call you Colonel... Colonel Hubert.
Yeah, I like.
What do you want?
Major General.
I'm going to bust you, I think.
Bust me down to
private.
Private.
Yeah,
I'm sure you will. Hey, 1919.
Anyway, this is. God. Doesn't that make you sick? I mean, you're outraged at a stupid coin, but this you take with.
I said it was
going to
make. I said it was going to make you mad. What do you want me to do?
Well,
I got heartburn.
Give me a drink of that stuff.
I got heartburn.
Yeah,
today.
I'm getting. Getting a spasm of the diaphragm.
Yeah. 1919, first transatlantic flight. How about this? A naval Curtiss NC-4 aircraft piloted by Albert Cushing Reed.
Yeah, but you look at the details of this thing.
Well,
it stopped like six times.
Well, and it says so. They left from Newfoundland. So
that's pretty.
You're damn near a third of the way there already.
Yeah, but that's okay because that's Adcock and Brown. That's where they landed too. So
and they went to Lisbon, but they made a stop at the Azores. So
yeah.
I had a classmate that moved to the Azores when I was in elementary school.
I can think of worse places.
I said, "What are you going to do?" He goes, "Well, they say there's frogs there to catch."
You know where you want to go? You want to go to the Balearics, like
where's that?
Ibiza. It's in the It's in the Mediterranean.
Menorca.
That's a hedonism place.
Yeah.
Well, I better get a lot of Bumble booms on that one. You know what I'm talking about on Bumble?
Mm,
when you swipe right and they've already swiped you, you get boom.
Oh,
she likes you.
She likes you. It's
I'm not getting any boom. I get a lot of fizzles.
I fancy you.
No boom.
1920, the Pope Benedict the 15th canonizes Joan of Arc. Boy, it took him a long time to get around to Joan of Arc.
She was French.
Still.
Well, the Italians hate the French.
Yeah, I know. And she's a woman. That probably didn't help her either.
Yeah, that too.
And in 1929.
You start canonizing women and, you know, they want to get educated and run for office.
Yeah, they'll want the vote.
Yeah, what is with these people? You just can't please some people.
In 1929, the first ever Academy Award ceremonies take place.
Didn't we discuss this last week, what this is all about? Louis B. Mayer just wanted to
bust the unions.
Right. So how do you do that? You give them awards.
I don't understand how that quite works, but is it a pacifier?
You give people awards, they don't unionize.
Yeah, here's a big pacifier for you.
Yeah, you call. Oh, by the way, I watched, you know, the only, we're going to talk about her today anyway. I'm going to hold, because I got another little Louis B. Mayer snippet.
Yeah, very good.
Although I watched, speaking of Louis B. Mayer, I think it's played by, what's his name, Silva, Henry Silva, Mommy Dearest.
Oh,
Boy, Faye Dunaway really chewed some scenery in that one.
Yeah.
I think that's like one of the big, one of the, you know, the 100 quotes, so no wire hangers ever. Boy, I got to admit, it was pretty funny. I got a kick out of it. I hadn't seen it in a while.
Mommy dear.
I think that's the one, I don't know if it still has it, but it's got like the most Razzies for a while. It had a lot of Razzie
I remember watching
nominations
on TV as
or something
kid.
Like that. It's not that bad a movie, really.
And thinking, this lady's crazier than my own mom. What the hell is going on here?
I don't know. Even her daughter said she saw the movie and said, no, wait, that's a little too much.
Well, dramatic license.
But anyway, Henry Silva was played Louis B. Mayer in that. And there's only one woman he was afraid of, and we're going to talk about her today.
Louis
B. Mayer that was intimidated by.
All right. Well, halfway through the events.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, I got a few more facts, though. This is at the Roosevelt. This is the first Academy Awards. It's a big deal.
Well, it's held at the Roosevelt.
1929.
I knew that.
They didn't allow talkies to be, you know, in any of the
nominations,
which is, you know, kind of screwed up. The Master of Ceremonies was the president of the, I guess, the Academy at that time.
Boring.
Douglas Fairbanks. Well, it was boring because everybody knew. They already announced all the winners already.
Well, that's just come pick up your trophy.
So, yeah.
And a photo op?
I don't even know what they gave. I guess they gave him the statuette the first time. I think they did. They didn't call it an Oscar, of course, till years later. Like I said, Douglas Fairbanks was a host. Charlie Chaplin, they gave it. Well, first is Emil Jannings won Best Actor. And this was at the time, it wasn't just for one film, it was like three. It was like their body of work during that year.
Sure.
So Janet Gaynor won for like three different movies.
Is that Mitzi Gaynor's mom?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I don't think there's any relation. But I'll look that up. And
that would make that Pauly Shore's grandmother.
Ooh, that can't be right. Okay, so anyway, is he still doing anything?
Yeah, he's still flirting around out there. Who knows?
Okay, probably living off his royalties.
Living off his parents is what he's doing.
He made that one that was in the army. That wasn't actually that bad.
It was
stupid,
bad.
But it was, you know, hey, compared to Jerry Lewis and anyway. So anyway, it was in the Blossom Room at the Roosevelt Hotel. Hmm. I've been to the Roosevelt Hotel. I don't know where the Blossom Room is.
Well, they've remodeled the Roosevelt. It's really swanky
again,
the Blossom, isn't it?
I'm sure.
You were just out there. It's
I wasn't there this time.
Oh,
my office is right down the street. The winner of Best Picture, of course, was Wings, although they gave like Sunrise an Oscar too. They're like two for like I think
you did
like,
a real nice job, here's an award.
Yeah, well, it's like artistic integrity or something like that, or ingenuity or whatever. So that was one and only. So really technically there were two Best Pictures.
Oh.
So
that's kind of cool.
Right. Charlie Chaplin, they gave him his honorary for The Circus.
The Irving Thalberg Award.
Not yet.
Oh.
No, Irving Thalberg hadn't died yet. So anyway,
that would have been weird.
You got to die to get an award named after you. So, or they didn't get the Gene Herschelt Award either. But, you know, here's a trivia question. Charlie Chaplin only won one competitive Oscar. I want to know what year and in what category. If you get that, you're good.
Mm, I don't know. I would say it's around 36, 37 for The Dictator.
So you're saying what? Director, actor, what?
It's not actor. I'm going to say director.
Okay. You couldn't be more wrong.
Okay. What was it?
It was Best Score, 1972.
Wait, he composed.
Uh-huh. Now, here's the deal on that.
Wow, what movie?
Yeah. Ah, I'm glad you asked me. Glad you asked
Last Tango in Paris.
Butt breath. No. Come on. There was no buttered up asses in the Charlie Chaplin movie.
Oh, okay.
He had class. Limelight came out in 1952.
Okay.
He made it in 1952. Apparently, it was not distributed, though, in that year. So
not qualified.
Doesn't qualify. So it didn't really come out and distribute in L.A. until 1972, in which case it was eligible to be included in the Academy Awards, and the score was excellent. It was a great score. So they gave Chaplin an Academy Award, and he won.
Was he there?
Yeah. I know he was there in 72. I don't know if he was there.
That's the same year.
Because they gave him a special Oscar, too.
That's the same year Brando. That technically would be in 73.
What?
That he went up, sent.
Sashine Littlefeather?
Sashine Littlefeather.
Who
up
was
to,
really, what was her name?
To Marie, decline.
Maria something.
Just a gal. Just a gal.
She wasn't even an Indian.
Just a gal.
Way to go, Marlon. That's the way to check out your people.
Sashine Littlefeather.
Yeah. Her name was Maria Sanchez or something like that. He's like an actress from L.A. of all places. Anyway. So anyway, that's a good trivia question. Anyway, that's about it on the Academy Awards.
Right.
And the only time there was no broadcast, radio or TV.
No radio?
Nobody really gave a shit.
Oh, that's
and it costs $5 a ticket. See, even we could have gone to that.
Oh, that's pretty good change in 29, isn't
it? I thought there were how many people. I think it was like 270 people there.
That's a decent room.
Yeah.
It's a
blossom room.
Yeah.
All right, now you may proceed.
Okay, birthdays. Who was born on May the 16th? Well, how about William H. Seward?
I know you idolize this guy.
I love Seward.
He bought Alaska.
He got Alaska.
You know, he's a sap. We could have got it free.
How do you know that?
They'd have given it away.
How do you know? You never know.
I know everything.
He is
of course, we want to talk about the assassination attempt on him, remember?
Well, he was the one...
saved by his neck brace.
Saved by his neck brace, and while Lincoln was assassinated that night, the attempt on him was made. Now, the third guy who was in line...
Yeah, he got drunk and went home.
They were going after Stanton.
Yeah, Secretary of War.
They were, right. And that guy just got drunk and said...
That guy's name was like...
I'm out of here.
Esterhazy or something like that.
But the folks who went over to Seward's house created a scene out of Carrie.
Yeah, they stabbed him multiple times.
And he survived it.
Yeah, because of his neck braces. He had just fallen off his horse or something. And
he was 64
out.
Years old at that point. Born in 1801, the 24th United States Secretary of State.
Yeah, stout stock.
Great, I think a great portrayal by, is it David Strathorn in the Lincoln film? I
still haven't seen that.
No, of course you haven't. You hate Lincoln because you're un-American.
Same guy that played... the guy on 9 Men Out, right? Wasn't he?
Yes. 8 Men Out.
8 Men Out. Well, I'm out too.
Well,
now what was his name? The guy he was the pitcher, the guy Eddie Ciccotti.
Do you say Ciccotti or Ciccotti?
Ciccotti.
Yeah, Ciccotti.
Eddie Ciccotti.
Yeah, very good pitcher.
Yeah.
Very good pitcher.
29 is not 30.
No, it's not. No, it is.
That's right, Mr. Comiskey.
18.
He was right. 29 is not 30.
It's not 30.
You don't get a bonus. Drop dead.
Elizabeth Palmer Peabody, the American educator who founded the first U.S. kindergarten.
Do we really need kindergartens? You know, come on. This is
not anymore. We don't.
Of course.
Not anymore.
This is organized. This is, here again, schools are not for education. This is so they go finger paint and stay the hell out of their parents' house. So, you know, the wife can work. Now, I guess there are some economic benefits to that, but I'm not sure what we really gain by this.
I can tell you.
And I don't know any really compelling studies that say kids that have kindergarten or preschool are actually better or smarter in the long run. Do you?
A study? No. Self-evidence? Yes.
Well, now, no. See, now here again, on this show, we do not use anecdotal evidence.
Well, it's not anecdotal. I mean,
we use empirical.
My daughter did very well in pre-K daycare, which was a great, you know.
But how do you prove a negative? She would have been, I would posit, she would have done just as well without her.
She may have.
Pre-K.
It was certainly a head
start. Can't prove a negative.
Certainly a head start, and we were grateful for it. I don't think it helped.
You kept her out of the house while you and the wife fooled around.
No.
Right? Nice.
No.
Sorry to hear that.
No.
Well, you're probably drinking this garbage. You're drinking this, swill.
It depends on how many times I have heartburn.
Yeah.
The co-inventor of the microphone, that little thing you're speaking into there, Armand, David Edward Hughes, a Welsh-American physicist. He was born on 1831, this date.
Okay. What have you done lately?
Well, you know.
200 years ago. Come on. There's something else.
I'm going to tell you, the recording people, the recording artist, you want to see them fight? They'll fight over a good microphone. Oh, boy, will they fight.
We don't.
I got a couple buddies.
We have other things to fight over.
One of my guys found a microphone in the basement of his buddy's house, and I mean, it was a tirade. It's just unleashed. One, you're a liar. Two, you don't even have... Oh, it was great.
I would give you my microphone.
1905, Henry Fonda. Oh, Hank Fonda.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Hank. Favorite Fonda movie? Is it My Darling...
Clementine? No.
No?
He was Wyatt Earp in that. God, I liked him in Mr. Roberts.
That's a good
one. Of course, that was when John Ford sucker punched him. Yeah, that was the end of that friendship. Yeah, I don't know what he did, but Ford got pissed, and of course, that was the end of Ford.
Because a lot of people say 12 Angry Men.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. All right, I'll go along with that. You know, he and James Stewart were good buddies.
Yeah.
But the politics broke them up, kind of like us. Although,
we're not broken up.
Now,
we're like Richards and Jagger.
Who?
We're like Keith Richards and Mick Jagger. I don't know which one is which. I don't know. But those two
say. Who gets laid more?
Good question.
Jagger's got to get laid more, right?
He probably
Richards
has
too
been
busy getting
probably,
high in stone.
Yeah, but I think Keith probably has the record though.
Think so?
Yeah,
all right, I'll take that then. Anyway, but you know, now I read somewhere that he was a Republican. I don't know. I've never
Who,
read
Jimmy
that.
Stewart?
No, Fonda before he turned. You know,
I heard he turned.
Pinko. Yeah, what turned? Yeah,
well, that's Reagan a good used word to be a Democrat.
Rotted.
Reagan was
right, of course.
Right, so.
Well, this guy, but apparently I don't remember because he was a big. I know he's a big FDR fan. So when the hell was he Republican?
I don't
so anyway,
high school?
Because it wasn't the 50s, because that was what I read, that, you know, because he, all this gray listing and black listing and everything, but that was 47.
Right.
So that was long after FDR thankfully died.
What about Grapes of Wrath? Would you put Tom Joad?
I
know you
movie.
Hate the film.
Hate
Let's
the
talk
book.
About
the
performance.
Movie.
Let's talk about the performance. Tom Joad.
No, I liked his mother better. She won the Academy Award.
She was good.
Jane Darwell.
Yeah. All right. 1909, Margaret Sullavan.
Which
American actress and singer?
That is the actress that buffaloed Louis B. Mayer. He was scared of her. Yeah, for some reason. I guess she was real throaty, you know, or her voice. And apparently the guy that wrote Mayer's bio, good stuff, isn't it? What a face
it's
that
an acquired
was.
Taste, buddy.
Been to a lemon. Anyway, Margaret Sullavan had him buffaloed, got out of her contract and stuff because he was scared of her. Also, Jimmy Stewart's wife.
Huh?
No, she was married to Henry Fonda.
Okay.
Not Jimmy Stewart. She and Jimmy Stewart rehearsed an awful lot.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Did they?
And
she,
he gave her credit for a lot of...
She now Margaret.
You better get off me before your husband comes home.
Imagine that pillow talk.
I'm sorry he died, Martha.
Just imagine Jimmy Stewart trying to talk dirty.
I can't imagine Jimmy Stewart banging anybody. But
no,
anyway,
I can't either.
That's a little too... Galumphing. Anyway, they were married, Henry Fonda and Margaret Sullavan. I would think that was his third wife. Mm. I think they were married for 2 months.
That
worked out.
Some of those marriages back then.
She died of a barbiturate overdose. They don't know if it was, she was a little depressed. They don't know if it was by accident or.
Yeah.
But anyway, apparently, you know, they said, how'd you get that deep voice, that deep sultry? I stand a lot of drafts. So apparently, she liked to catch cold and. But she did give Jimmy Stewart acknowledges it was because of her they made four movies together and the first one nobody wanted him because he was a nobody and she insisted so he gave a lot of credit for his success to her. They're really very good friends.
1912, happy birthday, Studs Terkel, American historian.
I've read a lot of his stuff.
You did good. Mm-hmm. 1928, Billy Martin.
I haven't read anything he wrote.
The ball player in the I don't know that Billy wrote anything.
I don't think so. No.
Boy, he was fun, though.
I like it. Yeah, I tell you, he and Steinberg. How many times did he get fired? Remember that commercial? Remember they did? Was it Miller Lite? Fired.
Again?
That was a great. That was funny.
I miss the managers running. You can't do it anymore.
Well, you got that stupid. Nobody's going to kill anybody.
No, man. I'm never going to see a manager kick dirt on home plate.
Yeah, kick dirt on
pick
people.
Pick up first base and throw it.
Who did that? Was that Weaver?
The Weaver was good. Yeah. He had tossed a base.
He tossed a mean base. That's great. Yeah, that's all gone.
1944, Danny Trejo, the American actor who
You know what they ought to do?
That's Machete.
Yeah, this guy.
He's cool. Danny Trejo is damn cool.
Since Shemp Howard died, this guy's got to have the title of ugliest man in Hollywood. Have you seen the face on this dude?
It's a weather-beaten face, but I think a masculine and rather appreciated face.
Unprepossessing.
A face that certainly a mother should love.
You know what would be more fun to me, though? I'm going back a little to the last entry.
Yeah?
You have the instant replay, and then it goes against what the instant replay says. So if it's obvious he's out, he's safe. And then watch the managers come up. Now, that would be fun. Let's see what happens.
Called him safe for spite.
Yeah, right. Just for the hell of it. See what the managers fight over it.
1953, Pierce Brosnan, one of your James Bonds.
I think he made five of them, didn't he?
Yeah. Do you remember his TV show before he became Bond?
Yeah, it was. That's why he got it, actually. Or that's why I think Dalton got it, because they wanted Brosnan to do. They wanted him to do. What were the two he made? He made License to Kill and Living Daylights. But Brosnan was doing that hokey show,
Remington Steele.
Yeah, so he couldn't get out of that. That's why Dalton got two.
Yeah, 1955. Deborah Winger.
She the one that went nuts.
Mm-mm.
Who am I thinking
Sean
of?
The one Young. Sean Young.
No. The one that's hiding. Was this Lois Lane?
No.
Okay. Who's the one that went nuts and was hiding in bushes and stuff?
Sean Young or Parker Posey. One of those two.
The gal that played Lois Lane in the
Karen Allen.
No.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Margot Kidder. That's who.
Margot Kidder.
Deborah Winger was in Officer and a Gentleman.
She gets swept up at the end, the big factory scene.
Stupid ending. But
comes in and basically.
Yeah, I did that scene in my act. Not that scene, but the scene which you think all women are whores. Remember
did
that?
You?
Yeah, great scene. I did it with a stripper. Oh, man. So anyway, I got to tell this story.
Let me tell you about the scene, though.
Let me tell you about my story.
Well, I'll get to your story.
All right. What?
All I think about that ending scene of An Officer and a Gentleman is that Richard Gere came in, mayonnaise comes in.
Yeah.
And basically disrupts a perfectly fine factory by taking away a worker. They're on an assembly line.
Are you a Marxist? Here we go again.
No, it's not.
Oh, sorry.
They're doing a job. He comes in, he disrupts the flow of production.
Oh, so you're now you're an economist, you're a capitalist.
That's how I see it.
What do you want? You want to go back to work then? Don't come during business.
I mean, come right at
Wait
the
till she gets off.
Come right at the 5 o'clock whistle and do that. But don't come right after lunch.
Then she doesn't have to take off her earphones, and then all the other gang can't.
And then they all applaud.
Yeah, it was. Even what's her name?
Even the girl who basically got the guy to hang himself.
With the bodacious set of tatas.
Oh, she was nice.
I like her better. I'd take her.
She was nice.
That was, who was that that played? He was good.
He was good. He was very good.
Keith, wasn't it? David Keith? Yeah.
Good character actor.
Yeah, he swallowed that ring.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this.
I
liked that movie. That was a good movie. Anyway, good. I tried it. So anyway, we're doing the scene. It's a really hot scene.
So you're
right?
You're playing which character?
I'm the girl and she's Mayo. Get the hell out, you stupid jerk.
You're Mayo.
Yeah, I'm Mayo, of course. Macho Mayo.
I don't see any horns on you.
And she's Deborah Winger's character, whoever the hell that was. And we're rehearsing this in her bedroom. Well, you know what I'm trying to do. She kind of threw me out of her apartment. She threw me
out. You went off script.
I said, I'm like Mickey Rourke. I can't do a love scene without penetration.
Oh, for God's sake.
That line didn't work.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think it would. 1966, Janet Jackson.
She of the, what was it, the error, what was it, malfunction?
Yes, the wardrobe malfunction. Which, again, I still blame Justin Timberlake. He's the one who ripped the thing clean off her.
Something's not right about that.
Yeah. That's kind of been forgotten about.
Not by me. I don't know. She didn't look that great anyway, though.
No, it was cool. She had a neat little artwork thing on her.
Yeah, it makes me think that it was premeditated.
It was totally.
Well, the areola. Yeah.
Areola. Yeah, it was totally premeditated. And 1970, one of my favorites, got to see her play tennis once, and it was a fun afternoon watching her. Gabrielle Sabatini. You talk about a beautiful Argentinian.
Woo! Not my type. Okay, you forgot the most important one of all, in my opinion. This guy, I mean, how could you leave out Liberace? 1919, born. Vladzia Valentino Liberace. You know, this guy was the highest paid entertainer for like 20 years. Remember when they said you guys got terrible tone?
I wish my brother George was here.
Yeah, I'm crying all the way to the bank. Look, this guy's great. And who did he play on Batman?
Oh,
remember that?
God damn it. Oh, who did he play?
Chandel.
Right? Chandel?
Yeah, and Harry or something. What was it? Yeah, Harry. Because he was twins. Remember?
Yeah.
He was Chandel, and then he was Harry, the whatever, yeah, the gangster or whatever.
So you know how that whole bit got started?
What?
George and what's Liberace's first name? What was it again?
Vladzia.
But what'd they call him?
Liberace. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, he's one of those.
Yeah,
one name.
He didn't need any other ones.
They started out on TV and they do their thing, you know, nice black tuxedo, right? And one night they came out in white. And it just kept escalating for Liberace.
Oh, yeah. That's when he put mirrors on his pianos,
oh, totally.
A candelabra. All this stuff kind of evolved.
You ever see that candelabra movie on HBO where you got Mike Douglas and Matt Damon? And yeah, it's pretty good.
You know what his nom de plume was before he was Liberace? Before he was, when he was playing like nightclubs and stuff?
No.
Walter Buster Keys.
Walter Buster
Keys. Yeah. He had classical music. He says, I play classical music with the boring parts left out. So
I kind of like that now.
Yeah, he said, and one guy described him as Chopin 1 minute, Chico Marx the next.
Very good.
And he's like, I don't give concerts. I put on shows.
That's true.
I don't put on concerts. I put on shows. So anyway, of course, the main one was, remember he got the horrible reviews. I cried all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Now, what was the name of a chauffeur who would come out in the?
I don't remember.
Well, they drive him out on stage in the roles, and the chauffeur would get out.
Maybe the same guy that used to spray Gorgeous George.
No, he had the little, you know, he didn't wear pants.
What did he wear?
Well, like he wore, he had a jacket.
The chauffeur.
The chauffeur, and there's no pants. Then he'd open the door for Liberace, who'd walk out.
Well, of course, unfortunately.
Sit down at the piano.
But, I mean, I don't know why you left him out. Because this guy was big on TV and
he's huge.
Vegas. Yeah.
Huge. Institution.
Yeah, Danny Trio. Anyway, he unfortunately died of AIDS. They covered that. You know, he sued, like, confidentially. Because
so what year was he born?
1919.
All right. So they kept his sexuality confidential.
Yeah, he died in 84, I think.
As long as they could.
Yeah, but he left everything to his, you know, his partner, whatever you call it, husband. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, they weren't allowed to be married.
Yeah,
not even in Nevada.
Yeah, they are by me. Anybody can get married.
Not in Nevada, though.
The government has no say over who gets married, in my opinion. Okay, so.
That's our birthdays.
All right. Oh, have you seen this sologamism or whatever the hell it is? You marry yourself. Have you seen this ridiculous nonsense?
No.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I didn't make that up. People are marrying themselves.
Really?
And taking themselves on a honeymoon. I'm not kidding. Look it up.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So anyway, go ahead.
Again, I'm not.
Take a drink. That'll make you sick.
Yeah. You should take yourself on a honeymoon.
What kind of society? That's the only person who'll go with me, but still, I'm not going to marry myself.
Ugh.
I'm just going to make love to myself.
Here, let's get serious. 1943, the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising comes to an end on May
16th. There were more than one, and none of them turned out well.
None of them did. Awful.
There's 43, 44, 40.
Talk about the nations that suffered the most during World War II. Everybody glosses over Poland. Good grief.
Yeah, but they suffered so much anyway.
They got it coming from each direction.
They're used to it.
1960, Theodore Maiman?
I guess Maiman, that sounds right.
Well, he operates the first optical laser, which was a ruby laser.
Yep.
And he does so out in Malibu, California, where you test lasers.
Amplification stimulated by emission of radiation.
Nice acronym. Does so at Hughes Research Laboratory. Think Howard was there?
I doubt it.
Doubt it, no.
He was up in his hotel.
Was he at the Desert Inn by then?
He was watching... He's watching his favorite movie.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Like the 17,000th time, Ice Station Zebra.
Ice Station Zebra. I don't think Ice Station Zebra was out in 1960, though.
When did that? Nah,
probably like
later.
68, yeah. 69.
I wonder what he was. He's probably watching Jane Russell in The Outlaw.
Yeah, probably.
Where he made that special bra for
right,
it or everything.
Yeah.
The two and only Jane Russell.
The two and only.
Okay.
Gentlemen, we need more productivity out of these titties. Well, that's what he says in The Aviator.
I'll bet
I need smooth.
I bet he had
aerodynamic. Are we talking about the plane, Howard, or the bra?
I bet he didn't clip his nails.
1966.
Yeah, here we go. Now, here's a killer.
This is a killer.
You want to talk about Poland.
This is a killer.
What this guy did? Okay, go ahead.
This is a killer.
Yeah. This one wins the prize.
This is one of the worst atrocities ever.
The worst.
The Communist Party of China on May 16th gives out the May 16th notice, which marks the beginning of the Cultural Revolution and basically marks the death of millions upon millions.
Let's be conservative. 20
Chinese.
Million?
That would be conservative.
Yeah, lasts until 76. Yeah. So this guy wins the prize.
Getting kids to basically turn in everybody.
Yeah, right. It's a good idea.
Little red book.
Well, we do that now. You know, these teachers are telling, you know, go home and tell your parents about global warming. And if they don't.
Well, it's not turning your parents in, though.
Well, you do. Tell us if you don't. Listen, I got people, that used to come to my office, you know, turn your parents if they beat you or whatever, anything, say, you know. Tell us, or we're supposed to tell the state if we see somebody abusing.
Yes, it's a law.
Yeah,
protection.
What a spanking?
Well, not no. I mean,
where does it end? That's
I don't
saying.
Know.
But anyway,
but
yeah. Well, anyway during this Cultural Revolution, economic production dropped by 12%.
That'll wipe out a whole bunch right there. Especially in a nation already of
a billion starving,
people.
They're starving, yeah, imprisoning 5 million. None of them probably survive. Mao wins, if you ask me. He's the butcher of the world. He beat Stalin and Hitler.
And Pol Pot.
Oh, yeah, Pol Pot.
He's got Pol Pot by probably a 2-to-1. Because Pol Pot.
He's only a million.
No, 30.
30?
I think so. Well,
there's not that many Cambodians.
I don't think it's limited to Cambodians, though, is it?
I don't know about that.
Now, you might have
I've
to check that.
30, Mao 30,
maybe, it's
maybe
Mao
more.
30 and Pol Pot a million.
Yeah.
30 million. That's a nation.
That's more than one.
That's a nation. Oh, I think
that's conservative too. I
can't even wrap my brain around it.
I wonder how many. Let's just look it up. You want to take a shot? I'm going to say.
I might say as high as 60.
But you never know with these things. All right, I'm going to say how many people did Mao kill? I got the internet today, so I don't know what happened here.
No, let me tell you
that.
Yeah,
you keep going.
Take
us to Venus.
While we were getting ready to land on the moon, the Russians were getting ready to land on Venus. Of course, they didn't send anybody.
Right.
Just
and
a probe.
They didn't land. Well,
but the Venera 5 on this date lands on Venus and probably promptly melted.
Yeah, I don't know what was with the Russians and Venus.
They liked that Venus.
They had some sort of
1988
monomania with that thing.
Your favorite, Armand C. Everett Koop, your Surgeon General, states the addictive properties of nicotine are similar to those.
All right, we got an answer.
Heroin
here.
And cocaine.
Okay, you want to take a guess?
I'm gonna stick with 60.
You're close. 78.
Oh my God.
78 million. That's according to Quora. So I don't know where they get this, but that's probably about
What do you even say to whatever maker you believe in if 78 million lives are on your...
I doubt you believe in any maker if you're that kind of a butcher.
For the sake of argument, let's say he has to come.
So what, World War II, would they say 30 million died?
Well, Russia lost 20.
Well, I'll just say 30 million. All right, say 35, whatever. Yeah. But this guy doubled it.
Doubled it.
78 million.
Just with the edict, the May 16th notice.
Well, there was more to it than that, but I'm sure he had quite a few killed already.
The Great Leap
when he took
forward.
Over in 48 or 49, he killed a lot of people. He had a lot of experience.
1991, the first time a British monarch will address the U.S. Congress, Queen Elizabeth II does so on May 16th. You remember that trip?
No, I don't.
Yeah, she came here. Remember?
I was in residency. I had other things
to
do.
So they had her speak out in the Rose Garden. You know, they had a podium, but they forgot to put out the box for her to stand on.
Oh, she must have looked like.
And it looked like a hat was giving a speech because that's about all you could see. That's good. And in 2011, STS-134, that is your space shuttle Endeavour, launched from Kennedy Space Center on its 25th and final flight.
Yeah. Well,
good old Endeavour.
Hey, listen, we gotta go to space now. You just hitch a ride with the Russians.
Yeah.
You know, that's what NASA's for,
that's
right?
What you do. That's
you
got
to study global warming. Now, you've forgotten probably the – you are really bad today. 1916, the Sykes-Picot Treaty.
Oh, not that treaty.
Yeah, that treaty. The one that's – of all the things today, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the one that has most impact on us today.
Explain.
Well, you explain. You know what it is.
I don't know what it is. The Sykes –
Picot Treaty. All right. World War I's over, right?
1916?
It's not over, correct. 1916. But that's right. That's a good point. Because even before it was over, the French and the British were divvying up the Ottoman Empire. Right?
There you go.
Now.
Sets the wheels in motion.
At this time, yep. Lawrence T. T.E. Lawrence of Arabia,
yep,
as played by Peter O'Toole,
mm-hmm,
is promising the Arabs all their land back and all this stuff,
yeah,
right?
Well,
they've already split it up.
That Annette O'Toole, she was fine.
Oh, is that his daughter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it is fine.
Is that his daughter?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
If not, I just want to state for the record that Annette O'Toole is a beautiful
all
lady.
Right, well, so noted.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, but these guys split this up and, you know, like, we'll take this.
Well, like you said, Churchill drew up Iraq.
We'll take Transjordan. You take this.
Transjordan.
And I guess Churchill later on, during the white paper, just kind of drew a straight line down things. You guys, you know, this.
It's like the Pope in South America. Everything to the left of this line is Spain's.
Yeah.
Everything to the right, Portugal. Portugal, you got screwed. Sorry.
Treaty of Tordesillas. And then there's also the Treaty of
Zaragoza. I saved myself from getting my ass kicked in Lisbon one night by knowing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
You're telling me people have heard of that?
Yeah.
I guess maybe down there.
We had gone to a game in Lisbon, European Championship.
Stay the hell out of those football games.
2004.
You get trampled.
We had gone to the game, England versus Portugal, and it was a great game. Portugal won.
Were there any hooligans?
No. The English fans that year were pretty subdued. So we're having dinner. It's about 2:30 to 3 a.m. We're having dinner. Restaurant's completely packed full, right in the center of Portugal, Lisbon. Lisboa, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. Post-earthquake, of course.
Sure. Table across from us, four young socialist-looking guys. If ever you want to see a picture of a young socialist, their leader, you know, look like he was going for the Che Guevara look.
Oh, with the beret and everything.
So, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they had been out celebrating the Portuguese win. They see us, they go, hey, you're not Portuguese. No. What are you guys doing here? I said, well, we came over for the championships. We went to the game. Immediately, you know, most Portuguese can't afford to go to the games because people like you come
That's
in and buy
correct.
The tickets.
Damn right. Okay. And they're right.
Capitalist swine. So, you know, we try to make light talk and say how great the game was. And finally go, so what do you know about Portugal? It's getting a little testy.
Yeah.
And I say, well, I know the Pope screwed your ass out of South America with that stupid deal where he drew the line. After that, drinks around. Oh. Buddies for life, I think.
Okay. Yeah, you get a card every Lenin's birthday, huh?
Well, Portugal's not a socialist nation.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Well,
any Euro nation's a socialist nation, believe me.
I loved it, though. Man, what a country. Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, I'd like to go to Portugal.
It's like a miniature version of Southern California all the way up and down the country. It really
Without the
is.
Traffic?
Without the traffic. That's exactly right. You can get the Lisbon to Albufeira down at the bottom. Man, you can scoot down there about 90, 95 miles an hour, be there in
Lisbon,
an hour
where?
And a half. It's called Albufeira, the Red Cliffs. Beautiful, beautiful beaches. Dramatic red cliffs. Just gorgeous. Just gorgeous. Where the hell are we in this show, by the way? Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Sykes-Picot Treaty.
Yeah, the Sykes-Picot Treaty.
Anyway, basically, British took Palestine gave it to the Jews, Balfour.
They split up
They split up all this, but that was the problem because Lawrence had promised the Arabs all this stuff.
Yeah, that's a...
Anyway, they're still fighting over this. So that takes the cake right there.
That was in 1916?
Yeah.
And about 18 years later... Aramco comes walking in and really throws some kerosene on the fire.
Yeah, it's already been split up by then.
Yeah,
so
I know. But
the damage is done.
But they're in the split. One nation had the good stuff.
Stick a straw in
the ground, put your thumb over the end of the straw, plop it into the ground like you would a potato, suck twice, you got an oil well.
We don't need them anymore, though, because we've got fracking.
All right. Who died on this date? You're getting to me now.
What?
Fracking.
You got a problem with that?
Yeah, I got a problem with fracking.
What is your problem with fracking?
Yeah, it hurts everybody.
Oh, my God. I'm not talking about fracturing bones.
1953, Django Reinhardt, guitarist, composer, passed away.
Okay.
Pretty notable. You may not know him.
No. I've heard of that name.
1955, James Agee.
Yeah, you don't know him.
Yes.
This guy actually basically... rediscovered Chaplin in the 60s. Everybody was really more Keaton fans by that time. Agee, he did a lot of film criticism. Now, he wrote two movies that were a couple of my favorites.
Damn,
I know one of them is yours.
Okay.
African Queen.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
It's good.
And Night of the Hunter.
Robert Mitchum, that's saucy.
He didn't live to see it, unfortunately.
No, because he passed away in 55.
Well, that's when it came out, right, that year.
He did get
a couple months before it came out.
Did get to see African Queen. Well, I think that's 51?
52. Well, 51, yeah, because Bogart won for 51. So.
Okay. 1957, Elliot Ness passed away of the Untouchables fame.
Yeah, I think he got a lot more fame after he died.
I think he did too.
Nobody knew who the hell
TV
he
series.
Was broke.
He was broke. Working in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, I think he was a busboy or something. I don't know what he was doing.
1984, Andy Kaufman passes away, or did he?
After he got pile driven by
Jerry Lawler,
Jerry the King,
one of the greatest bits ever. Ever.
Pile driver. That would kill
ever.
Him. Can you imagine if you really did that to somebody?
Oh, you'd break your neck.
Yeah, of course. You'd kill him. Pile driver.
Have you ever seen Man in the Moon, the movie where Jim Carrey plays him?
No, do we have that on our...
You should watch it.
Okay.
It's he and Paul Giamatti. When they dream up the wrestling thing to go, intergender wrestling champion.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Oh, my God. As Robin Williams said, half of the country is looking at it going... This is repulsive. The other half of the wine and cheese crowd is going, this is the greatest art ever. This is the greatest performance art ever. This is genius.
Well, I got to say that I'm not a real big porn guy.
Yes.
But if I want to watch it, I watch two women wrestling and then tearing their tops off and stuff. That's the best stuff.
But they just watch Stripes. They do that in Stripes.
Yeah, something like that, but more intense.
You have a favorite?
More flagrant.
You would like this movie. I'm telling you. Kaufman fascinates me.
He was good as Latka. I liked
well,
it.
Well, see, he hated Latka.
Well, I don't care what
he hated it.
I liked it. It's fun. That's a funny show, Taxi.
I mean, he literally did the stuff. Like, he'd book a college campus date, get up there and take up The Great Gatsby and just start reading it.
Well, that must have been fun. I'd rather watch Taxi reruns.
1990, Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, he died young. Unfortunately, it's throat cancer.
Too young.
Big smoker. My favorite Sammy Davis, I like the when he was on All in the Family. Now, that was funny. That's supposedly the longest laugh, too. They had to cut it where he kisses Archie. You're looking befuddled, bemused. You've never seen this?
No, I forgot about it. Because I always thought longest laugh in television history was when the guy on The Tonight Show hit the... throwing the axe and he hits the guy right in
the crotch. Yeah.
And then Johnny says, "You didn't tell me you was Jewish."
I think it's the longest laugh.
Smacks one on Carol O'Connor.
Yeah, that's the longest laugh on that show, I guess, which probably is one of the longest.
So that's a lot of laughs.
They had to cut it because Archie had another line. So, yeah, it went on forever, man. But yeah, he was good in. I liked him in Robin and the Seven Hoods.
I was going to say, Robin and the Seven Hoods, he's got a better role than he did in Ocean's 11.
Yeah, no, he's better than that. And he was also good in, what was the other one they made together? Sergeants 3. He was like Gunga Din.
Yeah,
he played like
the Gunga Din
character.
Did you like Candyman?
Well, the song?
If you have a favorite Sammy song, because that was my song as a kid that I would play.
He's got a great voice.
I didn't sing it. I couldn't sing, but I would play Candyman for
the one he's noted for?
For piano recitals. I don't know that he wrote it, but he made Candyman.
He's all right. I like his voice. Anyway, he died very young.
Remember those shows they would do out at the sand shows?
Yeah, well, during the day.
Like Peter Lawford would walk out on stage carrying Sammy and present him as...
Yeah, but that's before Sinatra got pissed at him.
Right, but he'd present him as the NAACP award to Dean or something.
Boy, can you imagine that?
Sammy put up with a lot.
Yeah, well, he did
put up with a lot. Oh, he married well, though.
Yeah.
I know he took a lot of flack for it, but that had to be worth it.
Sure.
Swedish Bombshell, are you kidding me?
Now, that wasn't... But when I went, I saw his... I saw his roast on Dean Martin, which is hilarious, by the way, on YouTube.
Yes.
But his wife on that was a black lady.
Yeah, they had divorced by then.
Yeah.
The Swedish girl.
Not that I just like blondes, you know me. Yeah. I have nothing to do with
it. She was...
Don't call me a racist.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
All right, just... I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You and your Portuguese communist buddies.
When you were growing up, did you ever know Sammy only had one eye?
Yeah.
I remember it
on the All in the Family.
I learned it on
All in the Family. I remember as a little kid.
That blew past me.
Don't say anything about his eye.
That blew past me. I had no clue.
I don't know how that was. That car accident? I think it was a car accident. He lost his eye when he was a kid.
I don't think I knew he had only one eye until Adam Sandler sang that weird song on Saturday Night Live.
Well, then you didn't see it all in the fact, because that was a funny one. Remember,
what I'm saying. It blew past me.
He's pouring him coffee. He goes, "You want some cream in your eye?"
It's just a joke I didn't
just
get.
Told Edith.
See what I mean?
He just told Edith, don't say anything about his glass eye. He blew it. You know, Peter Falk, of course, had a glass eye, too.
Did he?
Oh, God, yeah. In fact,
I didn't know that.
That's why Harry Cohn, the head of Columbia, was casting people. He goes, for that kind of money, I'll get a guy with two eyes.
Let me tell you something. So my father had sort of an eye stroke where he got a clot behind the eye. And eventually he had to have it removed.
That happens.
And his prosthetic, it was so good, I really had a hard time telling.
Yeah, so, well, of course, with these guys, it's hard, too.
Well, Sammy also wore sunglasses.
Remember Sons of Katie Elder?
Yes.
We're going to auction off my glass eye?
Dean Martin. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Jim Henson, the very same day as Sammy Davis Jr.
I believe he had two eyes. Yeah.
Passed away. The great creator of The Muppets.
Yeah, funny stuff.
Oh, God, those two in the balcony.
Statler and Waldorf.
It is Statler and Waldorf, right?
Yeah.
Because I always thought it was Waldorf and Astoria, but it's Statler and Waldorf. Yeah. That's correct? Okay. When you go to Disney and they do you go to the Muppets Theater, I forget which Disney it's at down. You don't go to theme parks. They have the Muppets in 3D. You go into a nice big theater, but Statler and Waldorf, the Muppeted versions pop out of the balcony.
Monument.
And they just start ripping on people. Oh, fabulous.
Well, they play that on CNBC, too, when they show the stocks, the big winners and the big losers. And they go, that's great. It was great. Well, it was good. It wasn't. Well, it was okay. I hated it. They play that like every other day.
Good.
It's pretty funny.
2008, Robert Mondavi, co-founder of Opus One.
Enophiles everywhere.
I had a bottle or two of Opus One back in the day.
Okay.
It was expensive.
I guess so.
I think it was about $500 a throw.
All right. I'll stick to
I didn't pay for it.
I'll drink Schlitz.
That was a good dinner.
Give me some of your.
I'm just thinking about that dinner. Apple cider vinegar.
Give me some of your.
And finally.
Anti-eructation.
My favorite name in the history of NASCAR. Dick Trickle passed away in 2013.
I don't think anything further has to be said. Tricky Dick Trickle.
Rest in peace.
What happened? Did he die natural causes?
Yeah, he did.
Well, that's no way for a race driver
to go. He was a good man. He was a good man.
I know, but it's, like Pat. You want to be the last bullet of the last.
Right, exactly.
Last shot of the last war.
ESPN make him famous. For all the years of covering motorsports, I didn't see this guy come close to a win.
Oh, really?
No, not even in the ballpark.
Went through him like crap through a goose. How's that for my George C. Scott?
That's good.
Thank you.
All right, folks, May 16th, it's in the books. We thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. When May 17th rolls around, we will be right here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm. Until then.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.